Welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robin Hood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts. Underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Well, thanks, Marshall. Today, Off Script is getting a preview on an original evening of musical performance that's coming to the Ankrum Opera House for two performances only on June 28th and 29th. The show, which will be seen later at Joe's Pub, part of the Public Theater in New York, is called Staged Dives, an evening with Stu and Heidi. Stu and Heidi Rodewald have been together since 1997 when Heidi joined Stu's band, The Negro Problem, in Los Angeles. That began a long collaboration of the two as singer-songwriters that produced, in 2008, the award-winning musical Passing Strange, a comedy-drama-rock musical about a young African-American artistic journey of self-discovery in Europe. Passing Strange moved from the Public Theater and transferred to Broadway. It won 3 Drama Desk Awards, 2 Obies, and a Tony for Best Book, and then it was filmed by Spike Lee. Stu and Heidi created a show called loosely based on James Baldwin's Notes of a Native Son in Los Angeles in 2016, and Making It, which was at St. Anne's Warehouse in Brooklyn in 2010. Along the way, Stu and Heidi have recorded about 10 albums. Before I speak with Stu and Heidi by phone, Jeff Mousseau, co-founder and artistic director of the Ankrum Opera House, is here with me in studio. And so, Jeff, for those who are not familiar with the Ankrum Opera House season, and they should be, you guys, your partner Paul Ricciardi, put together, now going into your fourth season, a really interesting mix of theater and performance and music and cabaret. So the obvious question, I being familiar with the kinds of stuff you do at Ankrum Opera House, why Stu and Heidi to kick off your fourth season?
Well, I think because they've really hit all of those tick all those boxes for us. I mean, it's theater, it's a cabaret piece. I mean, one of the things that I think we really are looking for and our people are discovering us for is the sense of immediacy and direct communication between the artist and the audience, and that connection in this show and these guys. They really wear their hearts on their sleeve through the work. And so it just was like when it became known to us that this might be a possibility, we immediately jumped on it.
That's great. And here we are, Stu and Heidi by phone. Hi, Stu. Hi, Heidi.
How's it going?
Hi. Hello.
Great. So welcome to Off Script. Let's cut to the chase. The name is Stu. Is that right, Stu?
I've heard that somewhere.
I know you have. Thank you for getting the little toss off. Anyway, let's start with you. Why do you call the show Stage Dives?
Like everything with us, we're always trying to reference what we think we actually are, which is a rock band that started off playing dive bars, you know, dive rock and roll bars. So we always want to keep that connection. We think that's what makes us unique in the theater world. And so we're constantly referencing that, and we're constantly, I think, trying to be a theatrical version of a dive bar band, basically. That's what we set out to do.
So, Heidi, now to you. Whose idea was Stage Dives, yours or Stu's?
Oh, that was Stu's idea. I mean, I'm right there with him. You know, that was Stu's idea. We talk about this stuff a lot. We are always talking about how we come across and what's important to us, and you know, all where we come from, and it all makes sense that we're doing this right now. This is kind of the perfect thing for us to be doing right now, and starting up there is great.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to ask. And now the question is, Stu, and I keep going back and forth like this because you're on separate lines out there. Why Ankrum Opera House?
Well, you know, artists always play places that are highly recommended by other artists. That's the bottom line. I was talking to David Kale. He mentioned the place, and that was pretty much all I needed, you know. And then when I found out people like, you know, Taylor played there as well, and, you know, Lady Rizzo, it's just artists go where they feel comfortable. And artists also like to go to unique places. I mean, you know, to play Manhattan is a wonderful thing, but Manhattan's a big city. You know, it's for us, it's about places, the actual space, where the space is. the fact that it's 90 people. I'd rather play for 90 people than 900. You know what I mean? This goes back to, like, the whole stage dives thing, like our history. We like intimate spaces. We like unique spaces. Theaters, you know, gigantic theaters, some theater in Manhattan or whatever, that's fine. That's fine. But that's not where we feel most comfortable. You know, playing Ancrim for us is, like, that's, like, our kind of place. Heidi and I have toured the country a lot. You know, we're privileged to be able to play giant performing arts centers in, you know, big cities. But Heidi will tell you the gigs that mean a lot to us are the gigs in these unique, intimate spaces, you know, these spaces that act as a kind of oasis, you know, in their areas in many ways.
Well, for someone,
it informs the audience, too. The location informs the way the audience feels when they come into the space.
Well,
I mean, you can't pay, you know, you can't buy that. You know, that's different, you know. It feels different.
So, Heidi, to you, have you ever played a Victorian opera house? You played a lot of clubs. Have you ever played a Victorian opera house in the country?
Well, I mean, you know, I would probably say yes at some point. I don't know. Still, this is the thing about us playing up there. It's like more than, I mean, the place is amazing. I hear all great things about it. I'm so excited about this. And mostly for Stu and I, going out of town, leaving, you know, and then on top of it, we're going to go to this very cool place that sounds perfect for us. But it's like us being on the road and us, you know, when we, whatever happens at this show, I guarantee Stu and I are going to talk about, when we talk about this show, we're going to talk about what we ate and what we, and where, you know, something, we're going to remember the drive and we're going to remember what we talked about on the drive. Stu and I have spent a lot of time in cars, you know, driving across the country, and it's just who we are, you know. I think we get a lot done, you know, talking about, you know, what's going on and what we're going to do, and it all kind of happens in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think playing up there, more than just us just, like, being in that amazing place, is us going up there and going out of town. And, you know, and like Stu said, we have friends that are, you know, that want to go to the show. People, you know, are, it's really attractive to people to leave town and go up there. It's really special for us to do a show up there, you
right.
know.
In case you've just joining us, the program is Off Script. My guests are Stu and Heidi Ruttewald. They're going to be doing, for the first time ever, stage dives, an evening with Stu and Heidi at the Ancrim Opera House in Ancrim on June 28th and 29th, just two shows only. You guys have been together for, what, almost 20 years now, and so I always ask this question of people who are long-term collaborators. Was this, I guess, without getting into a Hermione Gingold, Maurice Chevalier thing out of Gigi, so I'll go, so, okay, Stu, you get all my throwaways. I'll start with you. Was it love at first sight?
I mean, of course, when you were in a band, when somebody joins a band, it's like a combination, like marriage, joining a cult, you know, it's getting a weird job. It's all these things combined, you know. It's like, it's when I talk about Heidi, you know, it's like, they're like, you know, there aren't even really any words to describe it, but people in bands who've been in bands for 20 years know what that's like. You know, it's like a very particular relationship, you know, and it's huge. It's a combination of, like, family and, like, you know, it's just all these different things that it's really hard to explain to people, you know. It's not just like, you know, Brecht and Vile who met up and, like, you know, in an office and wrote some songs and then went their separate ways. You know, it's like we live this band, you know,
right.
So it's a very different thing. Yeah.
So, Heidi, you've already told us you've got a very vivid memory because you're already prepared to remember the drive up to Ancrim and what you're going to have to eat and the scenery and all that. So now I guess getting in, you play Hermione Gingold for me. Describe, if you would, the first time you walked into a room and you saw Stu sitting there or standing there or playing there.
You're asking me what I thought when I first saw him?
Yeah, sure. Where was it? What was it like?
Well, the first time I saw Stu, he was prancing out on stage with the band The Negro Problem before I joined, and I was just like, and it was all about the music, and it was all about watching this this performer. You know, it's hard. You know, Stu and I have spent so much time together that it's hard for me to talk in, like, giant glowing terms. Do we talk in glowing terms about each other, Stu? I mean, I guess we do.
You don't talk, you don't talk about me in glowing terms. You haven't for about 10 years
really?
Now.
I feel like I do. You know what? You know what? I feel
there
like
was a time.
Interview
there was
right
a time.
Now is a backlash. Because I think I talked in glowing terms last time we talked for something. And I
okay.
And it was weird. I was like, wow, I'm talking in glowing terms. But Stu came out on stage and I was like, oh my God. And I wanted to join the band. You know, it's all about the music. It was all about, you know, at that point, well, it's always like this. It wasn't like, oh, I want to be in that band and I want to write music for the band. I just saw the band and I was like, oh my God, I want to be a part of that. That's what I'm going to be a part of.
Okay,
you know?
Now we got to talk about the music, because this is what your gig is all about. You know, everybody's seen the Rocketman movie, okay? Bernie Taupin writes these perfect pieces of poetry that last for 4 or 5 sheets. He gives them to Elton John, and Elton John creates a perfect music to go along with it. I don't think it works like that for most collaborators. How do you guys work? Stu, you want to start?
Well, the thing about what we do is, you know, what I love most is, you know, Heidi and I have a very, like, we have a pretty functional approach to, you know, we're not the kind that sit around and wait for inspiration, you know. If we're making an album and we're like, this album needs a mid-tempo song, I will say to Heidi, hey, can you write some cool mid-tempo music? And she'll do it. And she'll do it in an offhand manner, and then next thing you know, that'll be the song that everybody likes best on the record. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she writes the music, I write the lyrics. It's not precious at all. You know, we don't sit at the piano next to each other.
Yeah, and something else, you know, people always, just because you say two people, you know, wrote the music. I mean, I came in this band, Stu is the main songwriter, you know. I mean, I write some of the music, you know. And so it's so funny how people always just go, it's just such a classic thing. It's like, who writes the, you know, words and who writes the music? And it's like, well, we're not like that. I joined this band not even caring if I wrote anything because I just wanted to be part of it, you know?
Right,
and
right, right.
So
but it
you
is,
write,
but it is, but it
most,
is. I think the story that describes our collaboration best is I was on a radio show, not unlike this one, and I started talking about a song from Passing Strange.
I want to ask you about some of those.
Called Work the Wound, and I was talking about how, you know, writing that song, and halfway through my monologue, Heidi goes, Stu, you know, I wrote the music to that. And I had thought, because the collaboration is so close, I had remembered me having written it. I'm like, oh my God, you're right. And this happened on air. Easily the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me in public. But that's an example. I wasn't like trying to steal it because she was sitting right next to me. But it's just, it's hard to kind of, you know, figure out where things start and end.
Okay,
know,
so it's not like Bernie Taupin and Elton John at all.
It is not.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
All right. So how would you describe your music? It's you know, and I got to tell you, my frame of reference for your music is largely informed by Passing Strange, which
right.
I just think is a fabulous score. I mean,
thank you.
It's
thank
rock.
You.
It's got funk. It's got soul. It's got a whole bunch of stuff in gospel in it, but it's just so damn joyous in the end. It's got some dark
thank
spots
you.
Too, but it's so much fun. So how do you describe the kind of music you write, you compose? Stu?
I think it's the older I get, the more I feel that it really has to do with, our music is from a particular generation. Whatever they call people that are my age, 57 years old, everything you just mentioned that's in the show is everything that I grew up listening to, you know. Just having seen the Aretha Franklin film yesterday.
Fabulous.
Not yesterday, a few weeks ago.
Fabulous.
And, you know, that was filmed in the church that my sister used to go to.
Wow.
So I grew up with all those things. So every single genre you named was a part of my upbringing without me even, you know, I didn't buy those records. They were in my home, all those records that you're talking about. So I feel like our generation, I was born in 1961, so you can do the math, you know what was on the radio back then. You know?
Yep.
And that is what we are. Heidi and I grew up listening to the exact same radio stations, the soul music stations, you know, the indie punk rock stations and everything in between, you know, and that's what we are. We are that. And I feel extremely privileged to have been born at the time I was, because that's what we do.
Okay, let me try this one on you. Reporters, and particularly music critics or theater critics, and I do a lot of theater reviews, so I sort of know my own. They can get pretty wonky. So let me quote something from an article that was in the LA Times, and I just like to get your reaction to see how this reporter described your music. He's talking about Native Song, which is a thing you did in Los Angeles about James.
I got to correct that. Native Song was actually commissioned by Harlem Stage in New York. We performed it at Red Cat in L.A., but it was first performed at Harlem Stage in Manhattan, in Harlem.
And I'm confusing it with Notes of a Native Son, which is an entirely different project, right? Or no?
No, Notes of a Native Song is what we're talking about.
Okay,
Notes
good.
Of a Native Song, I call it Native Song for short, but okay. Notes of a Native Song was commissioned by Harlem Stage. Yeah.
Okay, so this wonky reporter from the LA Times describes your tunes that, quote, skew sweetly soulful, head-noddingly funky, and humorously caustic. What do you think of them apples?
That's a mouthful. Yeah. I can't disagree.
Okay, this is also the same writer who described you as, think of Al Green fronting for the Beach Boys.
If only.
Okay, so
if only.
So
Al Green is one of the five greatest singers of all time. So Yeah, I don't know. That guy's far too nice.
Okay, or would you like to describe yourself as Superfly in Buttermilk?
Right. Exactly. That's more fitting.
How do you want to explain that one?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you mean what it comes from? What it comes from? Well,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the description thing, over the years, isn't that interesting how people constantly try to say, Stu is like this, And after a while, it's like, haven't we done enough stuff to where it's kind of like, Stu is Stu, It's just so funny,
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the program that's going to be at the Ankrum Opera House on June 28th, 29th. You guys, I presume, are still working it up. But it's going to include, I hope, some selections from Passing Strange, right?
Oh, without question.
Yeah, good.
Primarily stuff from
Passing Strange. So you're definitely going to do, I got to say, there are a couple of really, really sweet melodies in that. Two of my favorites are Must Have Been High and The Mom Song. Those two, they come together in the play, I think, or at least the version that I know, and they're so sweet, little melodies.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can I presume you're going to have Work the Wound in it?
Without question.
Yeah, cool. And what about Passing Phase?
Passing Phase? Wow, you're asking some really interesting tunes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're actually going to rehearse today, so now that you said that.
Okay.
You might end up influencing the set.
Well, I don't know. I'm just remembering the things that stuck out at me. The other one that's really got this kind of big Broadway flair was The Black One.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely us looking to, in that case, one day we were looking to our keyboardist, John Spurney, and I just said, hey, I got these words. Can you just play the most straightforward, Broadway kind of chord changes that you possibly can? And he played them, and I just started singing it, and that song is a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play.
Okay, so who's going to claim authorship for We Just Had Sex?
I think I wrote that. Didn't I write that, Heidi? I mean, that's you. Yeah. That was necessary, It's a show, so you need a sex song, right?
Right.
What can you do?
Passing Strange. You grew up, Stu, in Fairfax. You talked about the Baptist choir that your cousin used to sing in, which is the same one where Aretha Franklin taped that fabulous.
My sister, yeah.
Yeah, your sister. Passing Strange, pretty autobiographical, right?
We call it autobiographical fiction.
Okay.
Which is to say, everything that's in the play is definitely influenced by or inspired by real events, but it's not strictly autobiographical. So we just use my life as a starting point. It's as much James Baldwin's story as it is one of our bandmates, Art Terry, who was with me in Europe at that time. It's as much his story. It's Josephine Baker's story. So many people I meet tell me it's their story. You know what I mean? It's really not strictly mine. You know.
Right. Well, I also read someplace that you Passing Strange is a reference to Shakespeare.
Passing Strange is a direct reference to Othello. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also
this idea when we were developing it at the Public. This idea that these tall tales that he told Desdemona reminded me of, you know, this is how narration works. You know, this is how singer-songwriters work, where we get up there and we tell these tall tales, you know. And the fact that it had the double meaning of passing, you know, which was important to me. Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Heidi, you and Stu started working, I guess, on Passing Strange from what I can glean. Was it back in the first time you really started doing it sort of like in a workshop way? Was at Sundance? Do I have that right?
No, you know, it was commissioned from the Public Theater.
Okay.
So that was, you know, the beginnings of it was so interesting and fun for us because it was a commission. So basically, you know, Stu and I were in the middle of putting out records and touring, and then we came to the Public Theater and got to show up every day like we're going to a job, and talking.
The first workshop actually was at the Public. Mm.
Was where?
I'm sorry. The first workshop was actually at Sundance. We did about 3 days of prep work at the Public Theater with our director, Annie Dorson, in a broom closet and somewhere in the Public for about, you know, 3 or 4 days. And then George Wolfe came and listened, and then they sent us to Sundance.
Sundance was the first official but it started at the Public Theater, and then we went to Sundance.
So George Wolfe...
That's the first time we had actors was at Sundance.
But back up a little bit. So George Wolfe is the one who discovered you and put you on your Sundance way? Is that right?
Discovered is not really the correct word. Bill Bragan, who was the guy who's running Joe's Pub at the time, we were playing Joe's Pub, and Bill Bragan was interested in letting the Public Theater know that we existed. And so Bill actually introduced us to the Public Theater, since his offices at Joe's Pub are right there in the Public Theater office.
Right.
And Bill started the ball rolling. And then the various dramaturgs at the Public Theater, you know, Rebecca Rugg was the primary mover there. And then she got George to listen. And then they invited Sundance to listen that same week. We did our first sort of like performance with me and Heidi kind of doing the entire play for George in a broom closet for George Wolfe, and then the next day for Sundance. And that was sort of like our baptism of fire, you know.
When you finally got it up in its, you know, final version that premiered at the Public Theater, were you prepared, Heidi, at all for the kind of critical reaction you got to it from people who didn't come from a music background, but people who were, you know, just in love with musicals?
Well, we were very proud of the fact that one of the things was that people that didn't like musicals liked us, right?
Right.
Because of where we come from, and that we weren't trying to fit into this. You know, our director Annie Dorson really pointed this out a lot. It was like, you know, reminding us who we are and what we come from, and not trying to fit into this world. And I feel like Stu and I, that was like the biggest compliment somebody could give us, was like, I hate musicals, but I love Passing Strange, you know, because we weren't trying to, and you know, I grew up on musicals, I love musicals, but it wasn't like we were trying to fit into that world. We were coming from this other angle of who, you know, where we come from, this band, this touring band, and telling a story in a way, you know, I feel like the whole time, all the workshops, we were just trying to make ourselves, you know, laugh, and ourselves, you know, how we feel, and it wasn't all about just thinking about an audience, you know.
Do you think you changed the game a little bit we can talk about a lot of musicals that have come since 2008, which is 10 years ago, that, you know, what might not have been done before 2008. You think you were a game changer in a little way?
Well,
big way?
Well, I think, yeah, but I mean, I would like to think that people don't go, oh, Passing Strange, we're going to do something like that. It's like we were, I hope that
well, you'd like inspired to think that.
Well, I think that people should know, like, you should really be really, really true to who you are, and you're going to come up with something original. You're going to be original.
Right, but what
if you really try to stay true to yourself, you know?
Yeah, but what he was asking is that if we're game changers, and I think the game is constantly changing. We had Spring Awakening the year before us.
Right.
You know, we had, I think that, to be honest with you, the game changer to me, you could go back as far as to Hair. That didn't mean that it changed the game currently at that time,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that the seed was planted, and I think the fact that a lot of people slept on Hedwig, you know, like Hedwig, why it didn't move, you
right.
know, to a bigger place after, you know, that, what, Cherry Hill, I think, Cherry Lane.
We could stitch these Broadway connections. You're mentioning Hedwig and you're mentioning Passing Strange, and I'm thinking of Rebecca Naomi Jones, who's now in Oklahoma. But we got to stop here. You got a good game, you guys. And for anybody who hasn't heard Passing Strange, go on YouTube, just listen to the... To the score. Stu and Heidi, thank you for being here. I can't wait. June 28th, June 29th, and yes. Ankrum Opera House. I'm going to be the first one on my block to see it before it goes to Joe's Pub at the Public Theater in later in the year. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll see
thanks.
You up at
thank
Ankrum.
You so much.
Thanks for having
great
us.
Talking to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The program's been off script. My guest has been Stu and Heidi Rutterwald. They are a pair of collaborators who are going to be performing for the first time anywhere. Stage Dives, an evening with Stu and Heidi at Ankrum Opera House on June 28th and June 29th. Be there or be square.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.